Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Hugely. Hello, everybody, and it has finally happened. I finally have recorded my Bruce Springsteen special. The crazy thing is that I've been a Bruce Springsteen fan for a long time, and I've been doing this podcast all this time, and I've never put a Bruce Springsteen episode out yet. I've done, what, maybe 11 Metallicas. I've done a whole bunch of Princes, all that kind of shit. But here we go, it's Bruce Springsteen time, and we are recording with the great Jesse Jackson from the Set Lustin podcast, which of course you will have to check out because you will hear me on there soon. Trust me on that one. At the time of recording this is February 1st, so this is officially Bruce Springsteen Day, because the E Street Band's first tour in 6 or 7 years begins literally in a couple of hours at the time of recording this. Like, it's back, it's on, and hopefully he's still alive by the time I release this. Jesse too, and Bruce. It's a good time to be a fan. I'm very excited. It's only a couple more months before I get to see him, and I hope that Bruce pulls me up on stage and asks me to dance with him. I don't think that's too much to ask for. I don't understand why I can't get my own way. But getting ways will have happen after the plugs. It's at the Hugely on Twitter, at the Hugely on Instagram. Preferably, I'd like you to follow me over there on Instagram because, well, I don't have many Instagram followers, and it helps with connecting with guests and stuff down the line. If you want to see the video version of tonight's episode, just check out Hugely Entertainment on YouTube, okay? I will only put stuff on there, and it's all free. I'll never charge you anything. All you've got to do is leave comments, drop likes, and all that fun stuff. If you happen to be a fan of pro wrestling and you want to hear actual experts talk about it, then check out Keep the 100 Official on YouTube. That is the official YouTube channel for the controversial show hosted by Conan and Disco Inferno. As this is a Springsteen episode, and of course I've mentioned in the past before that I'm kind of a vinyl collector, why don't you go click on my Amazon wishlist, which you will find through my Twitter profile, and buy me vinyl. I deserve it, I want it, and I should get everything I need before these shows. And not even before these shows, just because I want it. Thanks in advance. I know you'll follow through. And the plugs are over. We will go now to the paid sponsors, and then right after this, you're going to hear two Springsteen fans. I couldn't think of the word. Oh yeah, nuts. Two Springsteen nuts. And we're going to be full on hyped up for Bruce. We're going to do our top five. And if these top five aren't in your list, then... well, then you're probably not a Bruce Springsteen fan. And if you're not a Bruce Springsteen fan, you probably haven't downloaded the episode. So I don't know why I'm pretending to talk to you. Anyway, here's the sponsors. And when we come back, it's the Springsteen segment. Jesse, hello. The temperatures aren't the only thing that's rising this summer. Guys, confidence can take you very far in life. For example, look at me. this podcast stinks, but I think it's great, and I convince you that it actually is listenable. Confidence can also help you in the bedroom, especially when it comes time to step up to the plate, and that is where Blue Chew comes in. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready for whenever an opportunity arises. You get the pun? It's about a hard cock. The process is very, very simple. You sign up to BlueChew.com. You consult with one of the licensed medical providers. And once you're approved, you will receive your prescription within mere days. And do you want to know the best part? It's all done online, so there's no need to visit the doctor, no need for any awkward conversations, and best of all, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. The Blue Chew tablets are made in the USA, just like Bruce Springsteen was, and prepared and shipped directly to your door in a very discreet package. And much like an audition for Saturday Night Live, the funniest show in the world, and if you don't believe me, then why was Kate McKinnon and Pete Davidson just recently in the cast? First impressions are important. So what about lasting impressions? And you're going to leave quite the impression with Blue Chew. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, Blue Chew can help. And the best thing here, a little bonus, we've got a special deal for all of our listeners. Try Blue Chew for free when you use the promo code HELLO, as in it's usually hello. Use the code HELLO at the checkout and just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, the promo code HELLO to receive your first month free. You visit BlueChew.com. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast, and on with the show. Want to buy wrestling merch but don't want to buy the cheesy or childish stuff the WWE puts out? Well, Collar and Elbow is the company for you. Collar and Elbow was founded on the traditional values of professional wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product intended to connect with people on an emotional level. A symbiotic relationship where one cannot flourish without the other. They strive to create a product that embodies their passion for professional wrestling through street fashion. Basically, it's wrestling merchandise that you can wear in public that doesn't make you look like a total nerdy mark. This is great stuff. I've bought a bunch of it myself. I wear it myself quite often. And when you go to buy it, don't forget to use the coupon code HUGEZY. That's HUGHEZY, all in capital letters, to let them know that you heard about it through me. That's Collar and Elbow. Use the coupon code HUGEZY. And do not forget to tell your friends, because this is the best merchandise company you're going to find anywhere. Happy New Year from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball has officially dropped, but that doesn't mean that you have to drop the ball on your balls in 2003, no matter how many of them you have. Whether you had your New Year's kiss or not, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming have you covered for your much-needed resolution of bringing sexy back, which is also a very good song. Join the 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. All you got to do is go to manscaped.com and use the code HELLO for 20% off and free shipping. Let us toast to the new year for a new you, and a new you without any public hair. I mean, what happens at the start of every new year? Everybody thinks, okay, I was a fat slob during Christmas, I had a great time, but now it is time to improve and get better, get in shape, get healthier. And let's also get our bollocks hairless. It's a new year, and why not have some new balls to go along with it, with the leaders in below the waist grooming. This year, take your package, to the next level with the Performance Package 4.0, along with all our other premium wet goods. But what is the Premium Package 4.0? Well, in it you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0, the advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate parts. Who wants to bleed from their dick or balls? Honestly. Plus, it also comes equipped with a 4000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land of 2023. And plus, how are you really going to cut your ball hair off without your crop reserver and your crop reviver before showing off your 2023 slick? You know, the pretty unique formulations and take care of the smallest part of your body. Plus, they're pretty much a big boost to your confidence, which everybody needs as they're trying to get rid of their big fat bloated Christmas stomach and constant farting and you dirty animals. But really, that's not just it. To complete the set, Manscaped thrown in their shed travel bag and their anti-chafing boxer briefs as a free gift to keep all our goods stored comfortably. And really, who doesn't want a nice pair of briefs to support Von Bollocks? But really, if you really want to make 2023 the year of the testicle or testicles, make sure to try out Manscaped's wet good as well. This includes the ultra premium body wash, 2-in-1 shampoo and body deodorant. These products are the absolute perfect way to follow up your New Year's gym's resolution, which everyone, you know, should try to maintain all year long. But whatever, who am I to judge? You should see the state of me. So I say, raise a toast, even though we're supposed to be off alcohol at this time of year, to new balls in 2023. And just before I go to let you go, back to my incredible podcast that I know you're going to tell all your friends about. Just want to remind you, you get 20% off and free shipping with the code HELLO at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code HELLO. It's time to feel sexy. It's time to feel free. And 2023 will help you do that as long as you used Manscaped. So thank you, and on with the show. I have been doing this podcast for nearly 4 years, or maybe five. I can't count, and I don't plan to learn. Out of all the things I've spoken about on this show for all this time, one of the things that I've never gotten the chance to speak about is my love of Bruce Springsteen. For some reason, I just cannot get, I could not get anyone, I should say, to come on to talk about it. Well, that is over, and I don't know why I'm acting like that's a surprise, because you will see the title of the episode. I'm joined by the great Jesse from a podcast that I just started listening to, Set Lustin with Bruce Springsteen. Jesse, how are you doing today?
I am good. We are, as we're recording this, the E Street Band will be hitting the stage tonight in Tampa, Florida. I do not have tickets to Florida, but I do have tickets for when he is going to be in Dallas, Texas, which is Friday, February 10th. So I am less than 9 days away from seeing Bruce perform live. So I am feeling very good.
Yeah, we get tickets for all three of his Ireland stadium shows. And buying those tickets is possibly the closest I've ever come to having a heart attack. Apart from actually having heart attacks, it was the stress and the drama that I was like, I needed to go to the toilet constantly, but I couldn't go because it's like, you don't understand. If I don't get these tickets, that's going to ruin my fucking year. And but that's the thing that I love about seeing Bruce live is that when you go to his shows, he's not like a party thing where people are like, I've been drinking whiskey all day, or who wants to sniff this? It's like, I can't wait to do that. Everybody's getting along. Nobody's causing trouble. And as you mentioned, Bruce is beginning his first tour in 6 years today at the time of recording. So I'd like to thank Bruce Springsteen for the promotion of this episode. He's a good kid.
He is a good kid, yes. I'm very excited. I think we're going to get 3 or 4 songs from Letter to You. The rumor is we're going to get a couple of songs from the covers album. And then, of course, a retrospective of the rest of his career. So it's going to be a great show.
Yeah, I have a theory in that the set list he plays tonight will be not what we get in Ireland. Because I remember the last time Bruce came here, it was for on the River Tour. Mm-hmm. And at the start of that tour, he was playing the entire album in, was it, what's the word, sequential order or something?
Yeah.
But by the time he got here, he was like, fuck that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm glad he didn't, because the River's not a high album on my list, if I'm being honest with you. And the other thing about this covers album, I get very excited when Do I Love You came out, because I thought, wow, that's really good. But then you're thinking, a whole album? Like, just put out like a downloadable single, or even just upload them to your YouTube channel, like a whole album of covers. Like, I've still never listened to the entire album.
Yeah. You know, and you're not alone in that. There is, you know, who's a lot of people were in it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was just a CD of joy. You could tell he was having a lot of fun. You know, there are songs that he's passionate about. So, you know, and, you know, the man's over 70. Whatever he wants to do is okay with me. And I get it. You are not alone. A lot of people were like, well, I don't need another album covers. And I respect that. But I thought it was fun, and I've enjoyed it. And I think that when we see it live, I think some people will change their mind when they hear this live with the E Street Orchestra. They're going to go, okay, that was effing amazing.
Yeah, and also you mentioned the Letter to You album, which I've only just started to really enjoy this month, because when that album came out over here, Ireland was on total lockdown, so you couldn't do anything. And so my whole point of getting that album is like, yeah, big deal, we're never going to get to see him. So it was like listening to it was a downer, but now it's like, I can't wait to hear Ghosts. I can't wait to hear Sounds of a Thousand Guitars or House or whatever the fuck it's called. But this is a great, great time to be a fan. And I'm very excited to get talking to you. But what Jesse's really on to do today, for anyone who listens, is one of my usual top five debates. So, Jesse, when it came to making your top five, was it easy or difficult?
Top three were pretty easy. I often mention these first two songs that are my two favorite songs, and then the third was fairly easy. Usually when someone asks me, I tell them blank is my one and two, and then my third changes every day. So then I decided that for the last two slots, I would just pick a couple of songs that I love. It's very easy to give you top 20. If you love Bruce as much as I do, and it sounds like you do, you know, dropping it down to five is pretty tough.
Yeah, it's actually the crazy thing. I'm still relatively new to Bruce Springsteen.
Okay.
Because it was, I went to a friend's house after a night out. I was having a drink, I'm not going to lie to you. And he had all... At the time, he had literally every single Bruce Springsteen song, plus all the B-sides, plus all these obscure downloads stored on his Xbox. And I only knew at the time Born in the USA and Streets of Philadelphia. So I'm hearing all these songs for the first time, and I'm thinking, who does this song? And he goes, oh, that's Bruce Springsteen. I'm like, you want to make this one? This is good. He's like, yeah, it's Bruce Springsteen. And yeah, but this one can't be Bruce Springsteen too. He said, they're all fucking Bruce Springsteen. Come on. And then that next.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. And then about 4 days later, Radio Nowhere came out.
Yeah.
And then the Magic album came out, which I loved. And then the Magic Tour was announced, and that they were playing Belfast. So within a space of a month, it's like, I just became completely obsessed with this guy. And speaking of obsessed, we're going to talk more music. So, Jesse, what have you got in there at number five?
So, number five is from Letter to You, Power of Prayer.
Oh, nice.
Letter to You has a special place in my heart because of when it did come out. We were in the middle of a lockdown. Here in the United States, we had a really rough year politically. And I had said that if I got a new Bruce Springsteen album and we got a new president, that 2020 would not be the worst year ever. And that happened. So Power Prayer is one of the songs. There's several songs on Letter to You that I love, but I just love the idea of music being a prayer to the universe, that often music comforts you. It you celebrate. When you're sad, you listen to it. When you're heartbroken, you listen to it. When you want to get motivated, you listen to it. So in a lot of ways, that song, the power of prayer, the power of music, would be my number five.
Yeah, that's one of those songs that, as you mentioned, of course, you come out during the lockdown, but when you hear it now, and knowing the fact that we're about to potentially hear it live for the first time ever, like it's just like, oh yes, because there's nothing worse than when you're going to see the new tour of a band when the album stinks. Hello, you too. But but with this one, that is a great pick for five. For my number five, I'm going also fairly recently. I'm going with Sundown from Western Stars.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, I thought that Western Stars was a fucking masterpiece. I when I first heard about it, I thought, he's seriously doing a Western sort of conceptual album? Like, can you not just go on tour? And I thought this album, it was unbelievable. Possibly his best of the 2000 era, or whatever you call that. Maybe even his best album he'd done since the 90s. What did you think of Sundown?
Oh, I love Sundown. The rumor is we're not going to get any Western Stars in this new tour, which makes me sad. I thought at least Tucson Train would work really well with the E Street Band. I absolutely adore Western Stars. I was going, gosh, I know he can't do a big tour, but maybe he could just do a small tour. Mm-hmm. And then when they filmed it in the barn, where we got to see him perform it live with that band, just made it even more special. So yeah, great choice.
Yeah, I would love for him to do, which I don't think is very likely. I seen him, I think it was the Wrecking Ball tour, might be wrong, where he would open his own sets with doing an acoustic set.
Yeah.
So if I'm getting my own way, and I often don't, Bruce is opening up the show with an acoustic Western Star set.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm right there with you.
What is your number four?
So I decided to do something that is a song that I never get tired of, Tougher Than the Rest.
That's my number four.
No, you're kidding. Okay.
By the way, I'm not kidding you. You wouldn't believe how many times people have the same number four when I do this.
Yeah.
But it's more often than not, but yeah, Tougher Than the Rest.
Yeah, I just think it is a wonderful love song. It is from Tunnel of Love. I've heard a lot of people cover it. You can do it very rock and roll. You can do it very country. And just the idea that, I stick around. I'm here. I can commit to you, and it won't always be easy, but I can. And, you know, I've been married since 1984. So my wife and I have been through good times. We have been through bad times. We have struggled. We have celebrated. And the idea that we're consistently there for each other is just a wonderful message.
Mm. And I just love as well the fact that when you look at that music video, and it's not to get political because we're having a bit of fun here, but that came out, what, 87 or 88? Yeah. He had like same-sex relationships in the videos before it became like the trendy thing to do. So he's not like jumping on a bandwagon, like he actually means it. And that song, ironically, on my list, it's the only one of these songs that I've heard live in person, which is infuriating, but we will get to more on those rants soon. What do you have in there at number three?
So I debated doing this, but the reality is I can't go a five list without Thunder Road. I often, you know, on E Street Radio, they'll do I'm the Boss, and you'll pick four or five songs you have to play. And I always say, no, don't pick Born to Run, don't pick Thunder Road, pick something else. But if I had to do in my top five, partly because, you know, I end every one of my episodes with the Mary question, where I ask the question, does Mary get in the car at the end of Thunder Road? So Thunder Road is just is truly one of the best songs ever written, period. And so it had to be on my list.
You know, I remember at my friend's house that I was telling you about, hearing the Born to Run album for the first time. And literally, I'd never even heard the song Born to Run before. And you're hearing all these songs back to back, and you're like, what? Like, this is a real person on the same album. Like, this is like having somebody says, yeah, we've got this new meatball sub that makes you lose weight. It's like,
yes,
I'm in. Well, at number three, you mentioned Cars. I'm going with Stolen Car from the River.
Oh, great pick.
This one was one that I had never really listened to much before, but one of my favorite films is the Sylvester Stallone dramatic thriller called Copland. And there's a great scene where he's sitting there drinking a beer and he's just listening to the river, and it's like, yeah, that's me when I grow up. And so unfortunately, it is me. So, Stolen Car, I just love everything about the vibe. I love the quiet piano. I think it's, and then how it just, I love the way it fades out at the end. Because it's just like, this journey's still going to go on. And that's what I like to, what do you think of Stolen Car?
Oh, it's wonderful. It, you know, I was lucky enough to go to four different shows during that River tour where he was playing the river all in a row. And so you don't get Stolen Car necessarily, Drive All Night, or, you know, Independence Day on, you know, some of these. And by having that, you got to feel it. And Stolen Car was a highlight every night because of just the achingness he has in that song. And our hero is just feeling like he's on borrowed time and not sure where he's going to go is just beautiful.
Mm. And also, it's just that, ironically, it's one of his more 80s sounding albums when you think that it's mostly synth. But I just love that song. And as soon as this is done, I'm going to play it and butcher it. What do you have in there at number two?
So number two is Better Days. Better Days is a song that speaks to me. I believe the song is about believing it is enjoying the journey. You know, I'm waiting for my life to begin while it's all been slipping away. I think too many people spend time, well, when I get that new job, then I'll be happy. When I get the kids out of diapers, then I'll enjoy being a parent. When I graduate from college, then I'll have fun. Instead of enjoying the journey, enjoying where you're at right now, these are the better days. I think too often we don't, and I know it's a cliche to stop and smell the roses, but the reality is you only get one life. You know, we hope there's an afterlife. No one knows for sure, but you know you get this one life, and to savor every moment of it, to remind you, and that's what Better Days does to me. That's the song that I kind of go through all the time.
What was your take on at the time when Lucky Town and Better Days come out at the same time? Did you think that was overload, or were you happy with it?
So I was not a passionate fan back then. I had bought, you know, Born in the USA like every other one else. I'd bought Tunnel of Love. I bought the box set. And then just kind of my son was born in 89. and we were busy being parents and kids, and so I really didn't come back to brews till The Rising. So that period. So I don't even remember buying Lucky Town and the others till after I rediscovered brews and then getting them. So I know a lot of people say that, you know, if you could have, if he had taken those two albums and combined them, you know, just in one album and kind of mixed it, it'd be really strong. There's some really good songs on those albums. I do think it's neat that when the E Street Band performs them, Better Days, I've never seen live. I don't think I ever will, but that is on my wish list. I would love to hear. I would lose my shit if you played Better Days.
That's the thing, is that when I, the last time I went to see Springsteen, there was almost like an argument, because some, I think the correct term for him is total dickhead, had this enormous sign. And I mean, I don't even know how he was able to carry it in. Like, it was enormous. And it said, please play, what's the one? Oh, God. Oh, Waiting on a Sunny Day.
Okay.
And it was like blocking like six people's views. And then the big argument was like, he always plays that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's like going, I hope that Queen plays Bohemian Rhapsody tonight.
Yeah, yeah, that's like, yeah, exactly. Having, you know, play Born to Run. Or yeah, yeah, that's, you know, that's an odd song to play. One of my favorite song signs, story songs about that was this kid had a poster, you know, that said, it's my 19th birthday, play The River. And we're like, have you listened to the song?
Yeah.
Like, just because it mentions your 19th birthday, I don't know if that's a good song to listen to celebrate for your birthday.
I get a controversial take for you.
Yeah.
I don't like The River.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I get that. Yeah, I understand the greatness of it. It is just, it is a very sad song. Yeah.
For me, it's just the case of that he's played it at every show I've been to. And it's just that as soon as you hear it, you always know, oh, God, this is going to be like 6-7 minutes. And it's slow paced. And I was really enjoying the tempo there, and of all these other songs you could have played with this, but you know, at number two, I'm gonna have to go with Candy's Room.
Ah, nice.
One of Bruce's many songs about prostitutes, it seems.
Yeah.
So he's not the squeaky clean boy that we that sometimes he likes to think. This is one of these songs that I think Bruce is doing it just to personally piss me off, where he has played this, he's never played this song in Ireland except for once at the show that I couldn't make it to, and I bet he actually stopped and laughed and says, ha, I'm gonna get him, and
that's,
he played
great.
Yeah, but I love this song, and it's the way that it keeps changing, where it starts out with and then it's like the drums kick in, and then it goes into like kind of, well, I guess you could call it like a punk song, and then it switches back out, and it's like, yeah, this guy is a genius, and Darkness on the Edge of Town is potentially my favorite Springsteen album. Although, ironically, I have to say, the album cover, like, what, like, you look at the way Pink Floyd would do their album covers, and there's all these deeper hidden meanings, and Bruce's one is just, hey, take this photograph of me beside the cover.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's it. What do you think of Candy's Room?
Yeah, it is a solid song. It is not one of my favorites, but I know that I'm kind of the exception. I understand in concept how much everyone loves darkness, but I tend to, because I really became Bruce obsessed after 2002. A lot of these, like Wrecking Ball, Magic, even The Rising, speak to me more emotionally than Darkness does. Yeah.
Yeah, I would get that. And The Rising, particularly in America after 9/11, yeah. I could totally see that. But I think that that's one of the real shames of Bruce, is that his modern albums, no matter what, will never get the credit they're due, despite the fact that a lot of them are really good. Yeah. Like, I think the Magic is great. I think the Western Stars is excellent. But for whatever reason, I think that we've now got to that stage where it's like we're going to do the tour of the new album, and then on the next tour, that album's gone. And I think that's a shame, but, you know.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that's the issue with him. You know, he keeps putting out new material, but people want to hear, you know, some of the other stuff. So it you know, unless he's going to play 6 hours, it's hard to get everything in there.
Yeah. That being said, I personally, while I'm not sick of the song, it wouldn't kill me to go see Bruce and him not do like Dancing in the Dark.
Yeah.
And play something else. But that being said, I say that now. But then at the time, you're like, oh, fuck, I haven't heard this song in 6 years. It's going to be amazing. But, you know.
Yeah, well, like I had someone on the podcast say that, you know, she would be fine if he didn't play Born to Run, that if he played it for another song. And I said, I get that, but think of the people who have never seen Bruce live. Yeah. And they would go to that show and him not play Born to Run. How disappointed they would be. And she said, I've never thought of it that way. You're right. You know? So yeah, it's always interesting. The songs that we all have different favorites, right?
Yeah. And that just really exposed how hypocritical I am, because if he didn't play Born to Run, I'd be crushed.
Yeah, exactly.
At number one, my favorite Bruce Springsteen song ever since I first heard it, and I've never heard it live, so I assume he'll also play this when I'm not around just to piss me off.
Yeah.
I'm on Fire.
Oh.
It's just everything about this, just the whole vibe and the tone of it. I love the. I always remember the music video for the 80s. That's when he was like super muscular and handsome, and the fact that the song's like what 2 minutes 20 seconds or, and
yeah,
so,
it's a
so
short it, song
it's done so, what that should have been like the River version, extend that shit out, which he did do of course on the live albums. So that's why I'm hoping that in these shows in May we get to hear that. What do you think of I'm on Fire?
So I have often said that if you are in a pub or a bar and there is someone with a guitar, and if you go and you throw your $5 note or your £5 note in the tip jar and say, can you play Bruce Springsteen? 50% of the time they will do I'm on Fire. You know, I love I'm Fire. It is I have no problem with all the songs on Born in the USA. I understand they're overplayed. I understand that it's what made him a superstar. But I'm on Fire is a beautiful little gem. Mm. It is, you know, it is emotionally that you agree. The video shows him really well acting. And it's catchy. It's a beautiful song. I agree.
And it's weird because there's like almost no instruments. There's no instrument to it yet. It's so catchy. You feel yourself dancing to this wood or cowbell or whatever. Yeah. I just noticed that what I did was I cut you off instead of letting you announce your number one. So, Jesse, the real reason we got you here, what is your number one Bruce Springsteen song of all time?
Land of Hope and Dreams.
There we go.
I just love that song. It speaks about the future. it speaks about, you know, take your suitcase and your, you know, we don't know where we're going, but we know we won't be back. I have spoken at multiple funerals, and I usually quote Land of Hope and Dreams. It is just a song that soars. It brings me joy. The idea that, you know, this train is whores and gamblers. This train is the brokenhearted. You know, faith will be rewarded. This is your sword, I think, is the song that is the most gospel of everything he did. But Land of Hope and Dreams is close to an hymn in a lot of ways. And so it, when people ask me, what are your favorite Bruce Springsteen songs? I go, Land of Hope and Dreams, Better Days. And then, as I said, three, Changes Every Day. So when you asked me, well, write down your five, I knew the first two immediately. And then I had to do their others.
Well, I suppose just as a wrap up, I've got to ask you, do you know what your least favorite Bruce Springsteen song is?
So I will give you a couple. I do not like Swallowed Up by a Whale, New Jersey Devil. I am not a big fan of Prove It All Night or Sometimes the Night. But the song that is meh to me, that people are shocked, not a big fan of Jungle Land. Look, see, you just did that. That's what happens every time. Listeners, if you're just listening to this, usually his eyes just became saucers. I understand the greatness of it. I understand the sax solo is unbelievable, but the story itself doesn't, I don't connect to it. It doesn't emotionally speak to me the way like Mary's Place does, or Drive All Night, or, you know, Girls in Their Summer Clothes, other things. So that's my controversial answer.
That is shocking. I'm going to spread word out about you, get you canceled.
Yes.
This is Jesse. I'm so glad we could do this episode. You seem like a heck of an egg, as we like to say. What plugs do you have for these listeners today?
So you can find me on Twitter at Jesse Jackson DFW. You can find the show Set Lusting Bruce wherever you find your podcast, where I am talking to Springsteen fans from around the world. You've got to come on my show so we can do a whole episode talking about your fandom. So that's it. And I am going to Dallas, Houston, Austin, and Tulsa. So if any of your listeners are going to be at any of those four shows, look for the fat guy with glasses and wearing a Set Lusting Bruce t-shirt and come by and tell me hi.
Definitely. Well, listen, I definitely would like to have you back on again once we're way into the tour, because the rumor going around is that the next set of dates are to be announced before the end of this week. Maybe the end of next week, but yeah. Which would be, after we're recording this on February 1st. It's just, it's an exciting time, and we're back. And hopefully we'll all be singing Waiting on a Sunny Day together soon.
That sounds good. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. This was a blast.
Okay, thank you, Jesse. And what a great set list, or should I say set list, song list he picked. But also, what a great set list it would be to hear all these songs put in there. And, you know, a wee bit of Streets of Philadelphia going back into the set list, it wouldn't hurt. I mean, you won an Oscar for it. It's not like it's not a good or popular song. Probably would kill the mood, but hey, whatever. Get it played. I love Bruce Springsteen. I love this episode. I love talking to Jesse. Again, I'm recording these all out of order, because at the time of recording this outro, I'm looking at the desktop and there are now three finished podcasts ready to go. So I don't know what order these will be coming out, but they will be. Did I just say that I would be releasing this? Why would I say that if I haven't actually released it? What a waste of time. I won't edit this. I'm just going to wrap it up and say, Thank you for listening. See you on the next one, and it's Shuji. Bye-bye.